Okay, so this is about being led by the Spirit in marriage, and because sometimes people think Holy Spirit is this, you know, ephemeral, wispy spirit, and rather than a very solid, practical person of God, who you can go to for everything and anything, we want to really introduce that in relationships, because it isn't just about praying for healing or finances or miracles or all of those things, which of course we're to ask God for and pray for in faith and all of that, but it's also in day-to-day life in terms of how you relate with each other. And he was showing me this week in one of the dares, which was I think it was dare 15, about resisting him. You know, when we can resist the Holy Spirit, it's very easy to do. We want to go our way, he's going, no, we're going this way, and we just go, no, I like this way better. And what he showed me is that we are all toddlers. And no matter how long we've known God, no matter how in depth we are with him in terms of relationship, compared to God, we're toddlers. And that's just reality. And that given that, he's going to know what to do as the adult, so to speak, in that scenario better than us. So this is what he showed me this week. He said, welcome to a happy marriage. And I went, oh, okay, in terms of resistance, you know, because we can resist when we're having a fight with our spouses or where we have a disagreement or we have a conflict of interests or whatever. The tendency is to want to be right. We get our emotions hurt. Then, you know, then we hold back. We withdraw from that person. We make excuses for why we're not going to forgive them. You know, all of those unwonderful things that human beings do. And he was showing me that if you simply take my hand as a toddler, he showed me this picture as a toddler, you know, and his hand is just waiting there. Holy Spirit's there on the road, and the road is really shiny and bright. It's not a dark road. It doesn't have a lot of detours. It isn't frightening. It isn't filled with pitfalls. It's just this bright, straight road, maybe a little bit of curves here and there for fun, but, you know, nothing dangerous. And he's just waiting there for us to take his hand when we have, not just when we have a conflict in our marriage, but just for our marriage, full stop. And I got to have the opportunity to do that, which I didn't do very well. And I had an issue. Our work truck, which was already on the skids, is now known as the death trap in my house by my husband's labeling. And he had a big, you know, he was very upset because it was very, you know, he could only go like 40 kilometers an hour or something on the road back to our house from a customer that he had doing a job at their house. And there was, you know, he came home in a really angry mood. And my son and I, we were doting over him and giving him chocolate and telling him everything will be all right and pray, you know, we'll pray. And I was already praying for somebody who had malaria, so I was in the middle of that when he came in really furious. So I had to keep praying for the person with malaria because I'm sorry, you know, it can be life threatening, you're not a car. And then we went into, you know, how to pray about it and everything, but we got into a huge conflict and he got really negative. Things of the past, you know, the stuff that we do, okay? Now, and I'm not saying I handled it either. So the whole point of this is that Holy Spirit showed me what a happy marriage looked like. You take my hand and you let me lead. And when we don't do that, it's not happy, which I, of course, have found out today. Because even today, he had to use my car, which is totally not a work car. It's this little boutique four-wheel drive car that, you know, has done a lot of kilometers too. And then, so I was in that place and he reminded me, you know, Holy Spirit, not able to slap on the hand or not to humiliate me, but it's like, you asked me where you resist me. And this is probably a primary place I resist. And I'd say a lot of people resist there. Because it's very easy to get your, it's very easy to get your feelings hurt. And then not want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think he's really showing me. And I believe this is common ground across the board for human beings. We get our feelings hurt and then we don't want to cooperate with Holy Spirit. It's like, well, heck with this. You know, I'm in pain. You said a mean thing. You hurt me. You brought up stuff from the past. All of that. So rather than praying for your spouse, who's obviously going down the wrong road, and they're in worse shape than you are because they're the one who got lost first, and you just followed them down that road, rather than doing that, going to Holy Spirit and say, okay, first of all, I need you to heal my feelings because I'm really angry and hurt. So we go to him as comforter. Then we pray about our spouse or whatever the situation is. And then we can live in that place of peace again. Now, I didn't do that at all. Okay, so I am not saying I'm an expert in this. I'm learning. I'm a toddler. I'm a toddler in marriage. So it doesn't matter how many years you've been, you know, married. And it's very humbling because, you know, you can be so good at healing and you can be so good at believing about, you know, miracles and finances and all kinds of issues. But you can have an area where you're very weak. And the Holy Spirit isn't upset about it from the standpoint of judging us or condemning us, but he does want to be involved in every aspect of our lives. And when the emotions, it's the emotions that hit, that make become the wall. One spouse says something, really hurts the other spouse, whether they meant to or not. They might just be spouting off because they're angry. They don't even mean it in the way the other spouse took it. And then the walls come up, the emotional walls come up. Wartime, forget about praying for you. I don't even like you anymore, you know, and all of that. And I'm, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Jean? It's like, why did I marry you anyway? You know, that's what comes up. I mean, it's horrible that we think these thoughts, but they do come up. And we don't want to hide them. I found there was somebody that I was praying with, ministering with this week. And I can't remember who or what the situation was, but I do remember this. The distinct part of it was that they were trying to pretend what was going on with them wasn't going on with them. That will never get you freedom. And that will never let the Holy Spirit in. When we pretend we are those whitewashed sepulchers, you know, but inside we got gunk, never's going to work. It'll never work. I know Gwen and I did a session on change comes from the inside out. Change happens from the inside out. And it is that again. I can say to myself, oh, Jesse, you were really, you know, you weren't being the kind of wife you should be today. And you should have been supportive and should have been angry and you should have been hurt. That's not going to change me. That won't do anything. That's just going to pour more condemnation on me and probably push me more into a corner and make me angrier with my husband who already had hurt me. That won't do it. But what will do it, is going to Holy Spirit and saying that I don't like my husband or my wife right now. I'm really angry. I'm really upset. And I don't really even want to forgive him. I don't know. Right now, I don't even want to be married to him. You know, all of it. Just tell him the truth. Tell him the absolute truth. Say those kinds of things. Whatever comes up, I'm not saying that everybody feels that. I'm saying if it comes up, you speak it out to Holy Spirit so that he can do something with it. Because the tendency is to have the feeling, feel bad about the feeling, try to cover up the feeling with the Christianese, you know, oh, I'll say a scripture for my husband. Oh, I'll try to be nice. Okay, those are bad feelings. I shouldn't have. None of that is going to work. None of it will work. There will be no authentic change. And it'll be patched up temporarily between you and your spouse. But then the next thing hits, you know, you get your next wave. And if you haven't resolved it from the inside in you, let alone your spouse, it's just going to bring it up again, and you're not going to ever come to a place of genuine peace. So this is what he's showing me right now. If you want genuine peace, you have to be honest with Holy Spirit. Even about the things that are unpleasant, because you can't hide. You know, you cannot hide from him.
Hi.
You know, it's not going to work, no matter how far away we... You know, what did he say? Even before Holy Spirit lived in us. What did God say in Psalm 139? David goes, if I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there. If I go to the heights of the heaven, you're there. It's like, tough luck. Where are you going to hide? You know, so we need to stop trying to be Christians and do the Christianese thing and be children of God and allow him to be a father. and not try to figure it out. And that is such a hard thing because we're taught that we're supposed to, we still have this independence from the garden. And we still don't want to look bad. And we still want to do all the right things and say all the right things and think every, you know, have everybody like us. We still have all of that. And we need to actually come clean with Holy Spirit and just say, okay, I don't know how to handle this. This stuff has come up before. I'm really hurt. I'm really angry. I know the times when I yield to Him and I genuinely yield, not just say it in words, because you can say, okay, Holy Spirit, take over, but really inside you're fuming. That's not going to get Him to take over. You know, you're still holding on to stuff. But if you go to Him and you say, okay, I'm fuming. This really hurt me. You know, my spouse has gone below the belt. I don't like it. You know, I don't even want to talk to them anymore. Whatever. And let Him deal with, first of all, your wounds. That's the first thing. Because He's your counselor. You know, you don't have to call somebody up in the yellow pages. You know, there you go. You got the counselor inside. Okay, counsel me. Because I want to smack his head. You know, I mean, just be straight. And then, from there, it's true, isn't it, Jean? You've been married for years. You know. You know, I haven't been married as long as you, but I still have those experiences. And I'm sure my husband thinks the same things of that blooming woman. You know, if she'd just leave me alone, you know, it's the same stuff. Right? So we don't want to practice Christianese in our marriage and pretend. I remember this couple saying to us, and this is way back, along many, many years ago, in when we were a place where we used to live in Australia. And this couple, you know, we were having a harder time at that time. And but we were so real in front of this older couple that had been married, you know, for 50 years. And they were like in their 70s or something. And they had a great marriage, but they had had a lot of problems. And they had come to a place of real understanding between them. So, but a lot of their marriage, half their marriage was strife. And the second half, they had come through, okay? And I remember the woman, the wife, saying to me, you know, you are so real, the two of you. You have something so special in God in your marriage. It's not like you've got it all together because you don't. But you, she said, but you're not like these other marriages where they pretend on the outside, but then when you get into their house, you see how they really live. We were like that everywhere. You know, everybody knew if we were having a problem. There was no pretense. And I'm not saying you should share your dirty laundry, you know, in public. But we were real wherever we were. So people knew what the truth was. But there still was the love between us. And I'm not patting us on the back and saying, you know, we had better marriage than anybody else in that town, because we didn't. But I am saying this. If we're authentic with Holy Spirit first and then with each other, well, our marriages really will be happy. But we won't get it otherwise. We won't have. And the scary part is being authentic. You know, it's more scary to be authentic with your spouse than with Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit isn't going to judge you. He's not going to condemn you. He'll probably laugh at you. He might be a bit sarcastic sometimes. You know, he might elbow you a little bit and kind of come on, chastise you even. You might get that. But that's as far as it's going to go. And then he'll give you the solution on top of it. So that's a pretty good meeting. Go sit with Holy Spirit. Have a chin wag about, okay, I just had an argument with my husband or my wife, and we're at a impasse. Help us. Blah, 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 blah. Tell them all the feelings, everything else. And ask for a resolution. When you're authentic with your spouse, first of all, you got to wait for them to calm down. That's the hardest one. Jumping in, you know, and when it's not timing. And then after they calm down, and maybe you've had, you know, a few hours or a day or overnight, whatever it takes, then approach them with what Holy Spirit has showed you in humility. That's the hard part. The humility, you know, that's like, no, you know, the pill of humility, swallowing that. It's like sometimes it chokes us. So we're just, you know, we need to know that. Put your foot in your mouth approach. That's right, Ronnie. You know, and we all do it. We all do it. But see, the great thing is if we go to Holy Spirit first, we can put our foot in our mouth for as long as we want with Holy Spirit. It's the safest place to be ever. And that's where we need to take refuge with Him. Once we go through that process, see, what we don't want to do is take the time. Now, when I do take the time, sometimes I can't, because if you're in the middle of an argument, I remember one day my husband and I were having an argument, and it was about finances, because we're, you know, he's got the one income, I'm doing ministry full time, and so my income that I used to have, I don't have. And we were arguing about, you know, whatever financial issues. And it was really crazy. And I was praying in the middle of tongues while we're arguing. You know, I just started praying in tongues. I thought, this is so stupid. This argument isn't even making sense, you know. And I'm binding things in the middle of our argument. You know, because I thought, this is so dumb. Because I know we don't want to do this. I know this isn't the answer. And we ended up resolving, and I even declared right then and there in the kitchen, in the middle of the argument, making him a toasted ham and cheese sandwich, you know, that, because he'd come home for lunch or something from a job, that, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God means for good, and we're going to get closer at it. And we did. We did.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how you, I mean, if you're in the heat of the argument, it's hard to go to Holy Ghost unless you just say, look, I'm going to go talk to Holy Ghost. Okay, this isn't working. And that's the hard part, walking away. You know, not being the one who's right, standing there going, you know, how dare you say such and such. He didn't laugh. No, Ronnie, he did not laugh when I started praying in tongues. He just kept arguing with me. How's that? He's a very stubborn Scotsman. I will say it online, and I love him to bits. But sometimes, I'll tell you, it's the ones you love to bits. They're the ones you keep hold of. You know, they're the keepers. But boy, sometimes you could just do some damage, you know? The pictures that you have going through your mind, you know? But we want to take a different approach. You know, I don't want to go through this over and over and over. Not just same ground, but the same way of doing it. Because I have had so many times when we've had conflicts where I've immediately yielded to Holy Spirit, but I meant it. Not just in word, but by my heart. That's the difference. My heart meant it, and we would resolve it supernaturally. I don't even know how it got resolved, but the whole argument would stop. Out of the blue, it would stop. It was like, stop in Jesus' name, but I hadn't said that. That's how good it can get. When I've done it that way, it works. When I do it the way I did just last night and today, where I wanted to be right because he had hurt me, I didn't get anywhere. And neither did he, and he still left in a huff. And he still had to go to a job, and nothing got resolved, and there's still hurt feelings. So that isn't the way to handle it, obviously. That's the way the world handles it. We are not in the world. I mean, we're in the world. We're not of the world. And we've got to learn how to do that, how to be of the world, not, you know, in it, but not of it. And I'm today, because this is not only just because it's in my situation. I know I've had so many calls this week about problems in marriages. It's like uncanny. I feel like God, you know, he gives you these lessons. You know, sometimes you'll get 2 weeks of broken limbs, and then you get all these heart attacks, and then you get cancer. And you know, when you're in training, it's like being in a training thing, and all of a sudden all these people come with the same issues. Well, this week it's been marriages, abuse in marriages, and broken marriages, and marriages on the brink to breaking, and conflict in marriages. That has been the whole week, like the majority of people that I've been ministering with. There's been a few physical healings, but most of it's been that. So obviously it's something for us to look at, and something not just to look at, something to give to Holy Spirit. You know, how do we resolve conflict in marriage? Well, the first way is you yield to him. And he's shown me that if we resist God, we will lose. If we resist the devil, we will win. That's basic Christianity. But often we resist the wrong one. We resist God and we submit to the devil. Or we submit to the devil and resist God, you know, but it's the same thing. We're doing the same thing. So there is another way. You know, there's another, and it isn't about keeping our feelings in and trying to be good wives or nice husbands. That isn't going to do it either, because that's behavior modification. You can do that in psychology. You don't need God for that. This is far deeper than that. This is a place of really yielding to God in an area where we probably have some of the most difficult, because it's very painful. You're one with that person. So what they say hurts you more than anybody else on the planet. And also can build you up more than anybody else on the planet. That one person. And I think sometimes we take for granted that we hold their hearts in our hands, and they hold our hearts in their hands. And the fact that God calls marriage, he relates it to the bride. He relates it to the church, Jesus being married, or Jesus being betrothed to the bride of Christ. That's what marriage is like. Marriage is that total oneness. We're missing it a lot because we still see ourselves as separate, just like we see Holy Spirit separate from us. And that's probably the biggest problem that we have. It isn't even marriage. You know, I'm a woman, you're a man. Men are for Mars and women are for Venus, or all that horse manure. It's not that. It's not because we're different. He made us different for a purpose. There's a good reason, and it fits together perfectly when we allow it. The problem is that we see ourselves as separate from our spouses. That's a hard thing. Because if you're separate from your spouse, and when, you know, they really tick you off or really hurt you, you just, you know, you don't want to see them again, or, you know, that's the kind of thought you might have, or you're like, oh, I wish I was on an island without you, or whatever it is. We're missing the fact that that person is one with me, and that's half of me. So I'm wanting to cut off half of myself. If we can actually see it that way, that is so painful. That grieves Holy Spirit tremendously. I mean, he's telling me that now. So I know that I have grieved him. That's one of the dares, by the way, how we grieve him. But and I have. I've grieved him by seeing myself as separate rather than seeing, okay, if my husband's that upset about this issue of truck and finances and plans in the future and everything, well, he's probably scared. He's probably overwhelmed. And that's why he's gotten angry, and because men, that's how they express themselves mostly, that emotionally, is through anger. And if I could have stepped back and gone, okay, that's my other half of me. Holy Spirit, help my other half. Could you imagine if we prayed that? Instead of, would you convict him of it being so stupid? You know? What a difference. Help my other half. You know how they say that in the world? You know, oh, here's my better half. Here's my other half. It's true. As far as God's concerned. Because you're whole. You're one. And the one, you know, the two become one flesh. But we don't see it like that. We see ourselves as separate. And because we have such a world of, you know, divorce is, you know, five easy questions, tick the boxes and sign the page. We don't take it seriously. And we don't realize what we're really tearing apart. And that's where the humbling comes in. And that's where we have to lay down the pride. And say to, first of all, the Holy Spirit, help me do that. Help me be humble in this. Help me lay down my pride. Help me actually see my spouse as one with me, as you are one with me. Can you imagine? If we saw our spouses as one with us, as Holy Spirit is one with us, oh my goodness. They wouldn't be the enemy anymore, ever. Not ever. Not just when it's a good day and you're in love and you're having a good time, but ever. Yeah, I think that's beautiful, Ronnie. I'm going to read. Oh, I'm sorry, Joyce. I'm going to read that. Ballroom. You saying you love ballroom dancing, and it's absolutely beautiful when two people are flowing together as one. Holy Spirit leads, I follow. That brings a smile to my face. I agree. And Joyce, the thing is, you can transpose that what you just said to being with not just you, any of us who are married, or those who aren't married yet, but looking at that later in their lives. You can transpose that. Holy Spirit leads, and we as a couple, as one, follow him. And that's what he was trying to tell me earlier in the week. You're the toddler, I'm the adult, take my hand. And you're going to have a happy marriage. And I'm not saying I have an unhappy marriage. I love my husband. We have, you know, most of the time it's great, but we have our hiccups. But he was sharing with me and telling me that can be all the time. That even when a conflict comes up, you can have a happy marriage. So, like Joyce is saying, in terms of the dance, okay, so you step on the person's toe. That doesn't mean you throw that person, fling them across the room and go, you lousy dance partner. I'll never dance with you again. But that's how we treat our spouses. You made one blooming mistake, buddy. Uh-huh. I knew it was coming. I knew you couldn't hold the dance for this long. I knew you were going to step on my toes. And that's how we do it. So it's a great analogy, Joyce. Well, we've got to realize they make mistakes, you know? I mean, I've got to realize my husband makes mistakes. I mean, come on. Do I not make mistakes? Yes, I do. Do I expect him never to make a mistake? Apparently, I do, because I get very upset when he does, you know? So it's not really fair. But I really think he wants to emphasize this. If we, and I'm going to write it down, if we treat our spouses as one, the way we are one with Holy Spirit, there's a happy, that's beyond a happy marriage. That is a blissful marriage. That is a blissful marriage. Because if you know they're one, that other half is hurting or suffering or scared or angry or whatever it is, they're out of sync, and you treat them as that other half, then rather than, oh, that's that guy over there, or that's that girl over there, or woman over there that drives me crazy, but you actually see them as the other half of you, the other half of your body, one flesh, you're going to approach it completely differently. So that's what we need to have a different approach. If we can look at them as that, and they really are that, if we're not making it up just to have a psychological little mindset, this is true. God says we're one flesh. And don't we want that other half to be well? And that's what we've got to look at. So if anyone wants to share their own, you know, experiences of that in terms of where they've seen themselves perhaps triumph when they've looked at it differently, or you know, we know how we fail, basically. But where you've actually saw yourself overcome that kind of scenario by yielding to him rather than yielding to your flesh. Because that's the problem. We're really yielding to, you know, we make a choice. We yield to our flesh or we yield to the spirit. And their outcome is always the same. Yield to the flesh, destruction, disaster, disappointment, hurt. Yield to the spirit, joy, triumph, new beginnings. That's what we get. And that's the choice we get to make, you know, all the time. But I think it's such, I feel like he's really emphasizing this. The Holy Spirit's really emphasizing this to me personally, but I think it's obviously far more than personal. Because anyone who's married is going to have conflict. But he's emphasizing this. Would you see your husband as, or wife, as one with you, as I'm one with you? I don't even know how to do that, but I know he can teach me. And I know that's how he wants marriage to be. Not something you enter into with one leg in, one leg out. Oh, if they treat me nice, I'll stay. If they don't, I'm out of here. You know, not conditional. But see, like one, if you're one, you can't let go. You can't cut them off because you're one. It can't happen. It's impossible. It's just, it'd be cutting out Holy Spirit. No matter how much you ignore Holy Spirit, or we deny him, or we fob him off, or we don't listen, he's still one with us. Regardless, that doesn't change it, but our quality of our relationship will be very different than if we yield to him, or if we ignore him. It's a completely different experience. And it's the same with our spouses. You know? It's not that we're going to try to look at them like that. We're not going to try to see them as worthwhile or value. We're going to go to Holy Spirit and say, "You teach me, Lord, how to see my spouse as one with me as you are one with me." And then you let him give you the lessons. The lessons are going to flood. And I say that now, Lord, you teach me to see my spouse as one with me as you are one with me, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I give you free rein to do that now for the rest of my life here on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. That's my prayer, and now I'm going to let him do it. Because the other way is pride and self-righteousness and positionality and judgment, and I don't want that. There's a much better way to be. And he said that, he showed me the toddler taking his hand, skipping down, literally skipping down the road and say, here, welcome to a happy marriage. That's what he says. And he has this road all glistening with light. And he's all light and his hand's all light. All I can see is his hand really extending down to me. And, you know, part of top of it, the back of his body, you know, Holy Spirit in this vision. And I'm taking his hand and we're skipping. I got little curly hair. I'm skipping. And this is how he sees us. As these little toddlers, come on, let's go. I'll show you the way. He's very enthusiastic about this. Well, Maria, very good question. Does this apply if they're still not Christian? Yeah, yes, we're still one. You're still one in marriage, even if they're not Christian, even though it's a hard call in terms of they don't share the same understanding or faith that you do, and they're not one in the Spirit in terms of they don't have Holy Spirit living in them. But according to God, what has he said? A man leaves his mother and father and joins with his wife, and he becomes one flesh with his wife. Doesn't say if he knows God or if he believes in Jesus, because it was before then. You know, that was a covenant of marriage in Genesis. That's where God has declared that. So I hope that answered the question. And if anybody else wants to answer that question, I think somebody else there, I don't know if it's you, Ronnie, but somebody has an answer that I think is really going to apply to what Marie said. Does it still apply when they are not Christian? Joyce is going to write down.
Yeah.
Okay, Joyce, you answer. Please answer. You can do it on audio, if you like. You can speak it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. When it came out of Christ, I wasn't in church. He walked away because of stuff that he saw. So
yeah.
He wasn't walking the Lord. So anyways, when I gave my life to Christ, I kind of bombarded him with, you know, you get so excited about it, but I learned to be not share anything with him. I just allowed the Holy Spirit to work in my life. I just basically just did a life. That's what I did, is I didn't say anything to my husband. I basically let the witness,
yes,
of my life show him that, you know, not all Christians are hypocrites.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but anyway, that's what I did. I just basically lived my life for Jesus. And as I changed, as the word changes, you're washed, you, the Holy Spirit shows you, when that light started shining, and he sees it. And so, to be honest, when we lived in Washington, who said it was because of the life that I lived, that got driven back to the Lord.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Even now, I don't really say much about Jesus or the, you know, anything about it. I could see. And I'm so secretly blesses me. Mm.
Jesus
really blesses me. Mm. But basically, I just stopped talking about the Lord and I just lived it.
Yep.
And your husband, you know, he's gonna see it. Matter of fact, I was talking to this lady online, and she basically said whenever she talks to her husband about Jesus, she just gets really upset. So I said, don't even say anything about Jesus to him. Don't, it's basically like you're nagging.
Yes.
His hate is nagging.
Yes.
And so she stopped, and then she said, she wrote me back, and she said, my husband said he knows the difference about me.
Wow.
Anyway, it's a matter of walking it, not talking it.
I think that is great. It is. It is that. It is walking it, not talking it. That's right. That's right. I mean, there is Ronnie, I think you have an answer. I just sense this, that you have this answer. Someone asked, does this still apply, you know, being one in that same way, one with your spouse as we are one with Holy Spirit, does it still apply if the person's not a Christian? And I just know you have an answer, Ronnie, that's really going to, I think it's going to open up something for this person. If you can share with us.
You want me to answer that?
Yes, I would love you to answer that.
I believe that the answer is yes, as far as, you know, a couple can be, one can be Christian, one cannot be. In God's eyes, they're considered one. So the blessing that the Christian gets, the other person supposedly gets. I don't know if you agree with that or not. But as far as someone going to heaven, that kind of thing, that's a different issue altogether. I mean, that's mean by the blessing.
Yeah, no, we're talking about if you were going to see our spouses as one with us, as Holy Spirit is one with us, the person was saying, does that apply, even if the other one isn't Christian? And that's right. Joyce is saying, yeah, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife and vice versa. That's right.
I just came on there. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's perfect. No, I just felt you had some kind of in-depth answer, and maybe because I didn't really explain the question well. Nonetheless, yes, they are. Yes, we still treat them that way. And that is usually the way that the spouse will come to know him, as Joyce said, by walking it, not talking it. Because we can look at the online thing, the stuff that's happening online now is just insane. It's almost worse than the church on the ground. Slinging mud, you know, people's opinions, people talking as if, you know, I'm the one, only one with the truth and you know nothing. All of that stuff that's happening. And those are all Christians. Okay, so if someone is not a Christian and they are seeing that, and say they see it in our own lives, well, they're not going to be very impressed and they're certainly not going to be drawn to Jesus. But if we don't talk it, but we walk it, that draws people. Because that's authentic. And that's what we want to do. And just say, even without one of the spouses not being a Christian, just say two Christians, but one maybe is further advanced than the other in terms of their spiritual walk or their understanding or their depth of, you know, communion with Holy Spirit or whatever. Talking about it and telling the person to be like that isn't going to work. Living it and showing them what it's like to really be close to God personally is going to make the other one, it's going to cause a bit of a yearning of like, why are you different? Oh, you're so different than you used to be. So much kinder. You're so much easier to get on with. You're more patient or whatever it is that the person has improved in because of their relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, I don't think we get out of it. You know, we don't get out of being one with our spouses, whether they're Christians or not Christians. Obviously, in most ways, it would be easier if they were shared the same, you know, because then we know each other in the spirit in that way. But the Father doesn't say, you know, dump them because they're not, you know, don't see them as one because they're not in Christ yet. He doesn't ever say that. Like Joyce was saying, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the unbelieving wife and vice versa. So I think it really comes down to, you know, we have to grow up, but we can't grow up without Holy Spirit. I feel like he's saying, you know, okay, although we come to God as children, because that's the only way we're ever going to believe, because we won't understand it otherwise. We come to faith. And still, every day, we still come as children. I don't have all the answers, but Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in me does. So I go to him again as a child. So being a toddler is on one level forever in terms of our comparison to God. But we also says we're to grow up in all things, but in Christ. Not by figuring it out ourselves, not by doing psychology, not by going to counseling, not by finding some external method, but in Christ, work to grow up. And I think it's so precious. You know, marriage is so precious to God. We have no idea how much he values it. I mean, it's the one comparison that he used for his own union with us. It must be a pretty special thing, marriage. That's what he calls us. We're the marriage supper of the Lamb, the bride of Christ, betrothed to his Son, our Savior. It's all marriage. That the two become one flesh. That's how much it's honored. But see, the thing is, if we don't put Holy Spirit at the helm of our marriages, we won't have that experience. We will have the, you know, I mean, we might have really good marriages, you know, where we get along and don't fight much and, you know, and understand each other and have a laugh and, you know, go do things here and there together, or whatever. We might have, a nice marriage. But we can have so much more than just a nice marriage. You know, we can have one that represents Christ and the church. Now, who doesn't want that kind of marriage? That's the ultimate marriage. When people look at your marriage and they see Christ, and they see his devotion to the church, to the body, that's what marriage is meant to be. And we really cut ourselves short from what we could have. This is all of us. I know all of us do. And I'm not saying that people aren't loving or giving to their spouses or anything, or don't bend over backwards, or you know, each marriage is different. But I know, I would venture to say, I certainly haven't seen a marriage ever that represents Christ and the church the way that the way Christ feels about the church. But we have that potential in us because we have the Holy Spirit. So we can have it. It's not an impossibility, and it's not till heaven, because, hey, we ain't going to be married in heaven. So we better get it down here, because it's going to be the same. You know, we're all going to be as one. We're not going to be, I've got, you know, me and my spouse and you and your spouse, and we live on such and such lane and the other ones live. It's not like that anymore. And okay, Ronnie, I'm just going to read what you said. It's a relationship to be sanctified not only by God, but also accepted by the couple, pure and not defiled. Yep, that's right. That's right. And the not defiling isn't just not committing adultery. The not defiling is what you say about your spouse. The not defiling is what you think about your spouse. But it's, again, we're not going to do this from self-help means. And independent thinking, and behavior modification. No, we go directly to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm having horrible thoughts about my spouse because he or she said this, 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 and this. Help me. You're my helper. And he immediately is there in a flash, because he was there all the time. He's just waiting for the invitation for you to actually involve him. And that's how we do it. Just like everything, just like with healing, just like with finances, just like with disasters that we see, or car accidents about to happen, or anything, we go to him immediately. He's the one. He's the source. We don't do it on our own. He's the source, and the source lives in us. And we're one with the source, so it's pretty hard to go wrong. But because we ignore the source, Holy Spirit, we easily go wrong. And we just take the wrong path. That's all it is. It is so simple. There's his hand, that beautiful hand of light going, you're the toddler, I'm the adult. Come on, take my hand. I'll show you this road. Come on, let's go. It's fun. That's what he wants to do. He wants to have joy. He wants us to have joy in our marriages. You know, that we wake up in the morning going, oh, I'm so glad I married you. You are amazing. And I mean, I've felt that many times with my husband, and then other times I don't. But I don't want it to be an on-again, off-again thing based on his behavior. Well, he was nice last night, so I can say that. We want it to be there, a perpetual flow, the living waters pouring out of us to our spouses. So that even when they're in a bad way, they're getting refreshed and replenished. Even when we don't necessarily like them, we're not stopping the flow of Holy Ghost. You know, we go, okay, Holy Spirit, don't like him now. But I know you do, so I'm going to give this one to you, and I'm going to let you flow through me to my husband or to my wife. And it's so simple, but we tend to be self-righteous, and that one has to be given over. You know, just Holy Spirit, take it, strip me of it, and let him then lead that walk. He just wants to lead. You know, he just wants to lead. You know, and that change that you're mentioning, Joyce, that, yeah, change, you know, and I, Gwen and I were talking about it the other day, about change being from the inside out. It isn't something external. It's something we allow Holy Spirit to do to us. So that's where we want to let Him do it. You know, again, it's your Holy Spirit-led marriage. You know, I mean, you could write a book or a e-journal on every aspect of life. Call it spirit-led, whatever, spirit-led cooking, you know, spirit, and I'm serious, because you can cook with love or you can cook with anger and resentment, and there's a big difference in how the meal tastes, you know. Anything and everything being spirit-led, and we're learning, you know, we are learning how to do that day by day, you know, day by day. So, when we know there needs to be change, on whether it's both parts, or usually it is both parts, or either part, we can ask, you know, and rather than saying change my husband or change my wife, we can say, Holy Spirit, give them revelation. Give them a revelation of how valued they are, who they are in you, and rekindle their hope, or whatever it is that they're missing at that moment. You can pray in a way that is honoring to them, but you still can pray for them. You know, it's not like we don't pray for them and just go, oh, it's all about me and I've got to get fixed. No, it's not that either. You know, both people are one, and both people need to be changed from the inside out for that oneness to actually be revealed and lived. And yeah, Joyce, yeah, I have prayed that one too. Lord, change me into the wife my husband needs. Yep, I've done that. I just get this though. That if we actually prayed, Holy Spirit, change me and my husband into the one that you made us to be, that we'll get it even better. Then it's not focusing on one or the other. Okay, I need to change, he needs to change, she needs to change, whatever. It's then saying, make us the marriage. You know, that representation of Christ in the church, make us that. Make us a reflection, an expression, an embodiment of that. So that when we're out, it's not just about us having a great marriage and we're happy together, but when we're out and we're being with other people, they get inspired by Christ. Because that's what marriage is really for. It's not just for us, and it's not just for procreation, and it's not just for, you know, for so that we're not lonely. It's a representative of Christ in the church. Can you imagine? That's what God says about marriage. That's how amazing marriage is to Him. He put it on the pinnacle. It's not down below and people go, oh, well, if I wasn't married, I could do this and I could do that and I could really serve the Lord. Marriage becomes an absolute expression of serving the Lord, not just because you're serving the one person, it's not for, because you can express his deepest love for humanity through your own marriage, and other people can see it, and it can open their hearts. And that's what this is about. Most husbands, there's a reason, and there's usually a real strife in the home about television and news, and sometimes it's just the zoning out process that men do. And usually it can often be because they're out working, not that women aren't out working, a lot of women are out working, but they're out and about, they're doing life out there in the world. They have these stresses, they have these pressures. The way they relax is by zoning out, staring at the box. And they also figure things out where they're staring at the box. We don't realize that. My husband has told me, he said, you think I'm just staring at that thing. He says, you have no idea what's actually going on in my head. Like, he's working out all these problems while he's watching. And I'm like, you're kidding. I thought it was just a waste of time. He's like, no. I actually work things out in my head. The problems I had that day on a job or something going on in the house, you know, or whatever it is. He works it out. Now, I'm not saying every time he watches it, it turns it on. Now, Do you know what Holy Spirit told me to do about the whole TV news thing? Because I've been really, I hate it as well. You know, most women do. We don't want to hear that stuff. We create life. We don't want to talk about the destruction. Like, I don't want to know, other than I'll pray for it. Okay, oh, there's a tsunami, there's an earthquake, there's a riot. Okay, let's pray, let's pray, let's get on it. That, you know, that's the only reason I want to know. I don't want to go into the lurid details usually. Now, men are different that way. And you know what Holy Spirit said to me about it? Because I said, look, I really have this thing with him about this, and I don't know how to handle it. And he gave me this word, and I'm just going to write the word down, because it's a word I've always hated. That word. Compromise. I hate it. It's like black and white. Look, it's either good or bad. We don't want to talk about it. You know, if it's bad, I don't want to know. If it's good, great. And it's not putting your head in the sand. It's saying, I know God is better than these things, so I don't want to focus on these things. That's how women see it often. Yeah, you knew I was going to say that. That's what Holy Ghost gave me. And I laughed. And I said, you know, I hate that word. And he said, compromise. And you know what he said? He said, so he has his news for, I mean, this is just practical Holy Ghost. That's why I love him so much, because he doesn't just go, it's not ooga booga, ooh la la, let's just pray, la 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 la. It's not like that. He's real. He's the real deal. He said, Jesse, if you let him watch his news and maybe a little bit more, you know, he loves documentaries. He's a total history buff, war history. He's a really, really bright guy. And he loves that kind of stuff. So he said, if you let him have that news and maybe a little bit more, and then say to him, I really want to spend time with you. Or do your journal, I'm usually reminding him to do his spirit-led journal or whatever, because we're doing it too, to make sure, you know, we know what we're doing as well, not just telling everybody else. And then spend your time and have your chin wag about whatever, whether it's God or plans or whatever. He said, can you do it like that? Give him some of the time. Don't just hate it immediately. Because I just hate, as soon as he turned it on, it's like, I hate it. Like, there's no room then. And I've been doing that lately, and do you know what? He's not complaining when I turn off the TV now. Because I'm not telling him how horrible it is and how I hate it. I'm giving him that room for that time, and a little bit extra sometimes, or even sometimes I'll find a documentary for him and go, oh, okay, here's one, honey. This one's really good. But we're not having the conflict. Which I find amazing. And that was from compromise. Not just one, you know, your way or my way, only one or the other. It doesn't work like that. So, that, you know, and that's, again, that's the practical way that Holy Spirit is. He won't make, you know, he's not going to make you, okay, you have to just like it or lump it. But he's not going to do that with the other person either. And when we get to that deeper place of really being, really seeing them one with us, as Holy Spirit is one with us, then these things won't even disturb us the way they do. Right now, okay, we're in kindergarten. It's like kindergarten marriage. You know, we think, even if we've been married 20, 30 years, you know, it's like, oh, well, I know how to do marriage. We really don't, in a lot of ways, you know, because we don't, you know, until we, and this is not a judgment on any of us, but until we really allow him to embody Christ and the church through our marriage, we haven't really got it. But he's here to help us do it. That's the beauty of it. Holy Spirit's here going, please ask for my help. I am only a prayer away, or an invitation away. I'll do it. You know, and that will shift everything. You know, if the one person, because I've seen it so many times in my own marriage, if the one person is willing to yield to the Spirit, the other person can't help but yield to the Spirit. It just happens. You're one. But when both of you are not yielding to the Spirit, you know, like it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's just, it's like, it's that kind of dynamic. You could start it all up again. You know, you thought the fight was over, but then you start it up again, kind of a thing. It's the same. If we yield to the Spirit, we're not going to start it up again. We're going to let the Holy Spirit take the lead and take us that next step. Whatever that step, and it's probably a step we've never had before and we've never been before. Yeah, exactly. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Yes. And when we have trouble with that, because we all do, come on, we all want to speak first. We all don't want to listen. We're anticipating what we're going to say while they're talking. You know, that's just how people are. And we get ticked off pretty easily. And depending on our makeup, you know, I'm really fiery. My husband's fiery. So, you know, it doesn't take much for us. So when we have trouble with that, that's when we ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And you let him do it through you. It's Christ. You know, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is a real deal. He really does. But we can deny it. You know, just like we can deny our value. We can think that we're not valued. We can think we're worthless. But that doesn't mean that we are. It's just, you're living in an illusion. And it's the same with asking Holy Spirit to help us with each step. Okay, I don't know what to do next, Holy Spirit. You make that next step. You show me. And because often, it's so much of it is miscommunication. We haven't heard, like until my husband told me that he actually works things out. Not that means you can spend 6 hours every night watching TV to work things out. That's, you know, that's just not fair on everybody because you have no family time. But when he started telling me, no, you don't understand, when I see these things, and then he will relate. It is amazing. He will take these things in the world, whether it's things about war or inventions or elements or physics or whatever, and he'll totally relate it to God. And I'm like, what? And it's amazing analogies. So while he's, you know, watching all this stuff and I'm thinking he's just wasting his time and our time, he's actually relating the world, the physical world, the world that God made to how God works in our lives, which is pretty amazing, really. And they'll pop up out of nowhere. You know, I know he's done it with Gwen in terms of, you know, the shepherds and sheep, and because he was on farms and stuff as a kid, and he understands the whole farming mentality and that aspect of the Bible, you know, the sowing and reaping and all of that. And so sometimes we just don't realize the talents or the abilities or the way of thinking that our spouses may have, whether male or female, you know, whether it's the wife or the husband. We tend not to appreciate it because we want them to see the way we see. And the whole point that God put us together is because we don't see alike. Isn't that amazing? But we've got two sides of the picture. See, one side is not enough. We need that other side, that other half, to make a full picture. We tend to go, why isn't your picture exactly like mine? Not realizing the gift is that God made us so that we were distinct, so that we would have a full picture. Not half a picture, doubled. That's not going to do it. We're then deprived, you know, of what God really wants to give us. Okay. And, you know, when a husband is like that, husbands tend to, you're mentioning that keeps things to himself and doesn't share much at all. When husbands tend to do that, that's usually because they, and I'm not saying it's attributed to you at all. That's because they don't usually feel safe to share. I'm not going to say usually. It can sometimes be that. Sometimes it could be that's just the kind of guy you got. And he's a deep thinker. And he's got still waters run deep. He's one of those. Very strong, you know, so strong, doesn't want to ever let you down. So he doesn't want to say something that might be misinterpreted or make you see him as less than he wants you to see him. Yeah. So the deep thinkers are great. They're amazing. Sometimes they're hard to be with because you're like, could you just talk with me? You know, but underneath it, they're always trying to work things out the best that can be worked out. And they don't want their woman to be disappointed. They can't stand that. That's the ultimate disappointment for them if that happens. So that's part, yeah, and the avoiding conflict as well, you know, which, you know, each one has, you know, we all have such different personalities, but if we can go to Holy Spirit and ask him, help us to value the way our spouses are, rather than wanting them to be different. I think that's so important.
Do you have a mobile?
Pardon, Lizzie?
Sorry. I said, are you by the mulberry tree?
No, I'm not. I'm now. Oh, I'm outside because it got cooler, but I am outside and all the cockatoos are out and about. There were some eagles this morning. Oh, we saw two wedge-tail eagles. It was amazing. Glorious birds. Huge. You don't see them around here that often. But anyway, and that's what we want to be, don't we? We don't want to be the cockatoos that you can hear now, you know, and the galahs. We have a joke about it. Marie will corroborate on this. You know, what is it, flaming galahs or blooming galahs? How do you say it, Marie? There's something about galahs, you know, because they're really loud. They're those really chirpy birds, and they never shut up. They're really pretty. They're little pink and gray things, cockatoos, but they just are so noisy. And so are the white cockies, too. They call them cockies here. And but we don't want to be like that, just the ones, you know, talking in the trees. You know, you want to be like, and you know what's weird about these eagles? Okay, one was in one place. I'm assuming they were a couple. I don't know how eagles, you know, really join or what they're, I think they are lifers. I think they mate for life. I'm not sure. But they weren't exactly on top of each other. You know, one was a little further away than the other. It looked like they were looking for prey. Okay, they were soaring. Well, one was flapping and the other one was just soaring and staying and, you know, it was still moving, but it was, not trying to go very fast or anything. And I was looking at them and I just, I'm thinking of it now. It wasn't like they didn't give each other space either. See, our tendency, especially as women, we want our husbands to be close most of the time. Because we get security from that. That they love us, they like us, they want to be with us, they think we're beautiful, whatever, you know, cuddling, whatever. It's not that husbands don't like that. I mean, you know, husbands like that as well. But husbands tend to want more space than we do. Not always. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. But I was just watching those eagles, and it wasn't like, they didn't look like, oh my goodness, where's the other eagle? They're looking back every 5 seconds. They're not. They know the other eagle's there. You're there, and you're not running, you know, you're not going anywhere, and I can come to you. I've learned with my husband to trust him in that way, to feel secure, whether I'm, you know, cuddling with him or not cuddling with him. It doesn't really matter anymore, and I'm, you know, I've become more and more independent anyway with ministry and stuff. I'm just so busy. But in a way, that's been great, because I'm serving other people. I'm not looking all the time. That's one of the, what I've found, this is one of the keys to a great marriage. Is when your life is not about you and you and him. When you've got your focus on serving, not from the standpoint of I've got to do this to be good or to make sure I'm really a believer. None of that nonsense. But simply because your heart cries out for it, because the Father lives in you. And he desires for people to be saved and healed and freed and restored. But your focus is not on you and your marriage and what's going wrong and what's going right and how do we get it better. And, you know, it's just not there. It starts to happen on its own. It's amazing. The more I've ministered to others, the less I have to minister in my own life. Isn't that amazing? That's the gift of it. Because he says it's better to give than receive. It's so true. It just touches everything. And you're not focused on, does my husband really love me? Does he think I'm pretty still? You know, once in a while, you know, you can say that. Most of the time, you're just having fun at that point. But, or your wife, you know, does she really think I'm a real man? And da da da, how is she judging me? You're just not even doing that. It's just not there. Because you're looking towards outside yourself. And it's no longer you that live, but Christ lives in you. So why am I looking at, you know, my stuff? What stuff? What stuff is mine anymore? Nothing, none of it. My husband's not even mine. Ultimately, he's not mine. It all belongs to God. The marriage, everything. And if we saw that, rather than trying to hold on to things and try to make them perfect or fix them up or, you know, and fix ourselves up, if we actually let God be God in every area of our lives, including our marriages, wow, now there's freedom. You know, and you would want to serve because you're not so tired and exhausted about trying to work your own issues out. It's amazing the gift of giving. What it does for your life, for your marriage, for your own relationship with God, it is incredible. It can really soar when your focus is not on yourself or your own situation, but is on others. Your life takes a whole nother level of living, and there's a whole new meaning to it. And it's so rewarding. And I mean, there's times you get tired and you don't, you know, want to serve or whatever, and you're supposed to take breaks, and you're supposed to make sure you have time together and all of that. It's not like, you know, everything is about just serving, and it becomes some kind of a chore. You don't want it like that, ever. I've done that. Not fun. No, you don't do it from there. You do it from the fact that you know, He lives in you, and His desires are your desires, and vice versa. He told me the other day, again, here's another practical one. I was asking him, how do I regulate ministry? Because it gets so overwhelming for me. So much time. You know, I can't do 24/7 anymore. Can't always be the available, you know, the shop. It's like the shop open 24 hours a day. You just can't do it. You cannot live a life like that and still sleep and still have a marriage and still take care of children and all that stuff. You just cannot do it. Or if you're not in a marriage, you know, go to school and work and all that stuff. You can't do it. So Holy Spirit said, I want what you want. And I was like, what? You know, like there's that movie Despicable Me, and they have one of those, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a hilarious little movie. You got to watch it. It's so cute. Especially you, Ronnie, with your kitties. Despicable Me. It's so cute. And one of the little minions, there's these funny looking minions, supposed to be the bad guy's minions, but they go like this, what? And that's what it's like. You know, I was thinking, what? You want what I want. And I thought, no, but I have to compromise and do it your way and spend enough time with you. And I'm making it a chore. I'm making my relationship with Holy Spirit a chore. This is what we do in our marriages. We make our relationships a chore. And then, particularly women, because I'm a woman, I know this part, we make being together for our husbands a chore, to be with us. And that never works. You know, they don't like that. And they don't respond very well. You know, it's like planned romance. Just, I don't know. Something about it just takes all the spontaneity out, you know? So, what were you saying?
What does that mean, what you just said?
Which part?
What you just said.
Planned romance. Yeah, okay. You got it now? It's this. It's not making relationship a chore. Because we can do that with God too. Oh, I've got to read the Bible today. Oh, I better do this devotion. I better do my journal. You know, we can even do that. Rather than it being, okay, this is a special time for me and Holy Spirit, or this is a special time for me and my husband, but without it, without the angst of it, without the trying to make it happen, just knowing, okay, I'm putting this time aside so it can happen, but I don't have a particular pre-planned outcome. I think the pre-planned outcome is the issue, really. We think that it must turn out like this, and he must look at me like that, and he must say these things, and, you know, and if he doesn't, you know, and there's all this pressure then on the other person. And we can do it with God. You know, why didn't God answer the way I thought he should? You know, I can't even hear him. Where is he anyway? You know, and all of this. And we turn it into a chore or not even a chore, a disappointment that it doesn't need to be. So when we're, rather than, you know, the focus, again, rather than the focus always being on us or them or ourselves, the focus being external, so much of this gets taken care of. Because you're just not in that place to always be analyzing. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you've done something over and over and over, you know, like what do they say, beating a dead horse. It's that kind of scenario. We don't need to do it anymore. You know, we actually need to trust God that marriage is such a vital, I'm not going to use that word institution. I hate that word. It's not an institution. It's such a vital covenant of love that he placed in humanity, he placed for us, he gave to us, We haven't even tapped the tip of the iceberg in it, I don't believe. No matter how much we love our husbands or wives, we don't really know how to be with them. I mean, you know, truly. And there's such an opportunity to learn. I mean, Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And it's that little toddler. You know, it goes back to the little toddler on the nice bright highway with Holy Spirit. Well, it's not a highway, it's a road. You know, you're going to get hit on a highway. But it's a road, and you're walking down it, and he's leading, and you're following. And, you know, you're side by side, but he's just a little step ahead of you. So you can follow where he's going, not make the choice yourself. And then we'll find out what marriage really can be. You know, and that's not criticizing any of our marriages or saying they're not good or saying we don't do the right things. Or, you know, it's so much more than that. Just like our relationship with him, it can always improve, can't it? We can get closer. We can hear him better. We can have greater experience in his presence. We can be able to operate, I hate that word. We can flow in the gifts that he gives us. And it's the same in our marriage. You know, there's so many aspects to marriage that I think the bottom line is, and this is what he stressed earlier, was, are you willing, he's saying this to me as well, are you willing to see your husband as one, as you are one with me? Or are you willing to see your wife as one, as you are with me? And we can answer yes or no. And being willing doesn't mean we see it right then and there, right in front of our eyeballs. Being willing means we take the time to say yes to that and then let him teach us. Because that's his job. Makes it simple then. We don't have to pre-plan everything we're going to say and how we're going to work it out. And that's all gone then. I don't know how I'm going to be when my husband comes home. I'm going to talk to Holy Spirit about it. I know he's hurting. I know I'm hurting, and I know Holy Spirit is grieving, and he doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to hurt each other or misinterpret things so that we are hurt when we didn't even mean to hurt the other, you know, however it is, whatever the problem is. So, and isn't that amazing when you think about it? Holy Spirit is grieved when we're sad in our marriage or when our spouse is upset and hurt. He's grieved. Wow. That's a caring God. That's an amazing God that he cares that much. That, you know, that's the number of hairs God. Yep, I know the number of hairs on your husband's head and your wife's head. And I know the number on yours. It's not like one's more important to him than the other. He's never like that. He is not like that. He's not a sexist. And he doesn't think one's better than the other, one more valuable than the other. You know, both count to him. And he made us the way he made us so that we could be one. And I think we haven't really got, I know I haven't gotten it the way I want it. I've had moments of understanding that, but living it daily? No. Let's just be straight here. Nope, not yet, but I'm going to. You know, this is just as important as ministering to somebody who's sick. And getting them healed through the Spirit of God. It's the same. It's just as important to him. Like we said before about letting the Holy Spirit lead the marriage, not trying to change ourselves, just as much as we don't want to try to change our spouses. If we do it externally and we try to behave a certain way that we think is going to make them, you know, please them all the time and do everything right, like we've just said here, like the Stepford wife, where you continue, especially with the wives, because we're taught this submission thing in the Bible, but submission is always a voluntary thing. It's not under duress. It's not because we're being dominated. It's not because we're being threatened. It's a desire. Just like we submit to God out of desire. He doesn't force submission upon us. So how can a human being do that? You know, that's inappropriate when it's used that way. In the churches, it's used as if it's there's a right. You must submit and listen to everything I say. That is not what it's talking about. You know, it's out of being loved. When you're loved in such a way that you know you're valued, you want to submit. How can you help? It's just like what we do with God. When we, you know, people who are running around with the law and think that's what God is, he's about the law again, they will, sorry, I've got a car here. When they are living in relationship with God by the law, they don't want to submit. You're always fighting God because you feel under duress. You feel pressured and oppressed. It's the same in a marriage. But if your submission is out of love, when you get the grace of God, when you get you are sanctified, saved, forever perfected, forgiven completely of all unrighteousness and lawless deeds, and he doesn't even remember them, you want to serve that God. You want to submit to that God. That's a God of love. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be there. It's the same in a marriage. So if we try to do it externally and, you know, be quote unquote perfect, we will be sickened ourselves. Our spouse won't believe it anyway. They might enjoy some of the benefits of it for, you know, temporarily, but it isn't a genuine relationship. It's trying to be something for the other person, not from a place of free-flowing love, but from a place of, well, it's really legalism, isn't it? Okay, this is, I'll do A, B, C, D, E, F. Yeah, he'll like all that. Yeah, I'll do all that. Okay, that'll good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Oh, that'll keep me out of trouble, or that'll make him like me more. And you're not even living in a place of love, and that you already are love. So we don't want to do it from there. We want to do it from the inside out again. You know, Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out so that we can actually be who we were called to be, and they can be who they were called to be. And you know the amazing part is? Who they were called to be and who we are called to be is exact match. That's the truth. But we don't believe it often because we see their flaws or we see our own, and we look at the flaws rather than what God, you know, the gems that God's made us into or the gems that he's made them into. And often they don't, sometimes, depending on, you know, where the partner's at, or, you know, the spouse is at, sometimes they won't value themselves, so they are always trying to make up and compensate and be the best at everything and maybe compete or prove themselves. And they're missing the fact that they're already valued. And if we see that in our spouse, then we need to attend to that so that they know they're valued no matter what. You know, I prayed for a young man in the grocery store yesterday who I happened to recognize. He came from the town. I didn't know because I had taught at the school. But anyway, he was there. Really lovely young man. He, you know, it had been a bit difficult in the high school, but still a lovely young man. I asked his father if I could pray for him because he had, he was in a difficult situation. He was just 18. Some opportunities aren't so great right now. He wanted to join the army. You have to have great grades to join the army. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, do you really need great grades to join the army and know how to follow orders, know how to shoot properly, know how to strategies for survival? But apparently you do nowadays. So anyway, so he hasn't been able to get in, and he's had depression and everything. He's so young, you know, and it's a very high suicide rate of young men in Australia. It's the highest in the world, I think. And I thought, oh my goodness, I want to pray for him. And I prayed for him, and I told him his value, that he had value right here and right now. You know, I put my hand on his heart. I just couldn't help it. And I'm praying, you know, next to the lettuce. No, potatoes. We were by the potatoes. Anyway, praying for him right there. And then praying for his brain as well for, you know, get rid of depression and whatnot. And I was thinking about it today. I thought, do I tell my husband that? And I have in the past. I have at times. But I'm thinking, when we have a day where we're not, you know, going so well or we're having an argument or whatever, do I think that about him? I want to be in that place again. You're to be able to see through the filter of any static that we may have, to still see him through the eyes of that value that he has in God. You know, regardless of how nice he is today or how angry he got about that or how much money we make or any of those things. You know, because and I'm just going to say this to the women particularly, and Ronnie, I think you will corroborate this. Men really value themselves by their earnings. Or lack thereof. They really have issues with that. And if they're not earning or they don't have a career or a profession or something that is providing properly, they feel like they're nothing. It's terrible That's the way the world sees it, but often Christian men see themselves that way too. And we as wives, we need to encourage them, if that is the place that they're at, to know that they're valued regardless. It's not that they're a paycheck, and it's not that they're just a breadwinner, and that's not just that they're there to make, you know, meet the bills, but they have value in and of themselves for us. You know, and I mean, those of us who work as well, you know, okay, we can say, all right, well, I work too, so, you know, what do you mean? But we need to look at it like a man has a different view of work than a woman, for the most part. Okay, whether it's just been instilled by society or it's just the way they're built, who cares? Nature, nurture, I don't care. Whatever it is, the truth is men value themselves by their work. And if they're not making enough money, or if they're not able to work, or if their work isn't, you know, status oriented, whatever it is that's important to them, they will see themselves as less than. And from that place, we don't want to go psychology, from that place, we ask, Holy Spirit, how do I make my husband feel he's valued anyway? That's where we go. We don't do a counseling session with him. So that's how we handle it. We make sure that he knows that we value him anyway. You know? That's what we do. You know, we don't just leave them there suffering. We actually let them know that they're valuable. Yeah, exactly. And you know, some of you have had that experience, either husbands or the wives, where there's been unemployment for long term. And it's important. We sometimes have to realize how delicate, you know, they can be, and not put that against them. You know, not put them down for it, because it's easy to be sometimes.